Chapter 16
Motherhood?
I gulped as I stared at the beautiful blonde Polly Worm in front of me.
I thought that was impossible since you had an IUD.
I didn't tell anybody,
Leah whispered with a somewhat embarrassed look.
But I made an appointment to get it removed soon.
What? Why? I thought you wanted to make sure you finished school first before you made any decisions about having a child.
I'm almost done with school, Carter,
she explained as she tousled her hair.
I only have 2 semesters left, which I could easily finish while I'm pregnant.
Are you sure about that?
I raised an eyebrow as I crossed my arms over my chest.
Yeah, you're thinking like a human, Leah, but you're a polyworm, and I'm a werepanther. For all we know, your pregnancies could only last a month or two, if you can even get pregnant. Like, also, didn't you say you were born in a litter of, like, a couple dozen eggs?
I don't know all the logistics,
Leah admitted with a shake of her head.
But I've been thinking about this for a while now. And seeing how happy you and Ada were just now made those emotions all come rushing back to me.
This is a big decision, I sighed and raked a hand through my hair. Fuck! I don't even know if I'll be a good father or not, Leah. I'm just as nervous about Ada's pregnancy as I am excited.
You don't think it makes me nervous?
Leah asked as she stepped closer to me.
I remember very little about my childhood. But I am aware polywarms have a bunch of children at a time, and the thought of having not just one, but maybe 5 or 6 kids at a time, it's horrifying. Yet at the same time, it's comforting, and it feels right, if that makes sense.
Leah,
I trailed off as I ran my hand along her soft cheek. If that's what you really want, then I will gladly give it to you, but I just don't want us to make a snap decision right now, when we're still feeling all sorts of emotions thanks to the battle and Ada's exciting news.
I understand,
the blonde woman nodded.
That's probably for the best.
Leah took a step away from me before she strutted over to the door of the boardroom, and she reached up and looked back at me over her shoulder as she slowly twisted the deadbolt into the locked position. She moved over to the blinds on the windows and whistled a happy tune as she pulled them shut, and then she looked back at me with a hungry expression in her blue eyes. What are you doing? I thought we weren't making any sort of decisions right now.
We're not, but maybe I want to practice for when the time finally comes.
Oh, fuck. I gulped as the blood in my body rushed down to my nether regions. I'm not going to say no to that. Leah shot me a wink as her long, prehensile tongue reached out and traced the edges of her luscious lips. And while she teased me, the polyworm reached down and began to slowly unbutton the yellow top she was wearing. Each button exposed another small piece of Leah's soft, pale flesh until her shirt was fully open, and I could see her small, perky breasts tucked away inside of a flowery bra. I couldn't control myself any longer. Before Leah had a chance to take off anything else, I moved over to her, placed one hand underneath her fit bottom, and lifted her into the air. She let out a happy gasp as I spun her around and sat her on the tabletop, and then I dropped down to my knees and grabbed the waistband of her jeans.
Somebody's excited,
she purred, as I pulled off her shoes and chucked them across the room. You have no idea, I growled. Next, I slid Leah's pants off her body, and I made sure to grab her panties along with it. The polyworm's sweet scent of arousal filled my nostrils as I stared right at her tender, beautiful slit, which was already sopping wet with anticipation. Her clit was standing to attention, and it jutted out between the soft bit of blonde hair that sat above her womanhood. I wasted no time getting to work. I leaned forward and gave Leah's inner thigh a soft suck, and the blonde seemed to melt against the table. The muscles in Leah's legs tensed up as she lifted them up and hung them over my shoulders. And she let out a soft moan when I began to drag my tongue up and down her thigh. Eventually, I got over to her swollen clit, though I only touched it with the very tip of my tongue, before I moved over and gave her other thigh the same attention. Leah's hands gripped the back of my head as she whimpered and trembled, but I wasn't ready to go in for the kill yet. The woman's juices continued to dribble out of her tender slit, and my cock threatened to tear through my spandex shorts as I thought of how delicious it would taste. I can't take this anymore, I growled, as I placed one hand on Leah's thigh and the other up on her toned tummy. I need to taste you now. I dragged my tongue over Leah's labia lips in a clockwise motion, and I made sure to stop and give her clit a gentle suck each time I passed. The blonde's thighs seemed to wrap around my head even tighter, and for a second, I wondered if she was going to smash me like a fucking watermelon.
Oh, Carter!
Leah groaned as I pleasured her with my mouth.
You're so fucking good with your tongue.
That's a compliment. I chuckled as I looked up at her half-naked body. Considering you're a damn master with yours. I reached up and gave Leah's left breast a squeeze as I sucked and licked her gently, all while I gripped her naked ass with my other hand. The woman tasted as sweet as fresh honeydew, and the sounds of her ecstasy as I ate her out seemed to make me a million times harder. I kept at it for several more minutes as I lapped up every drop of the woman's sweet juices, and all the while her moans grew more hurried and closer together. Then, when I reached up and slid two fingers into her trembling tunnel, Leah pretty much lost it. Her entire body went rigid as she pushed the back of my head so that I'd go harder, and I obliged until Leah turned into fucking jello against me.
Carter, I think I'm gonna... Oh, fuck!
Leah screamed as she held my face against her pussy. I continued to lick and finger the polywarm as she orgasmed against my face, and I felt her warm, wet ecstasy drip down my chin as she came. I lapped it all up with my tongue before I pulled away and looked up into my lover's baby blue eyes. You tasted amazing, I growled as I gave her ass a playful smack.
Now it's my turn to taste you,
Leah said through a few gasps, and then she sat up straight and looked down at the bulge in my shorts.
Stand up.
I quickly jumped to my feet as Leah got up onto her knees, and the polywarm reached behind her back and unfastened her bra, which allowed her perky C-cups to fall free of their fabric prison. Each breast was perfectly round and covered with adorable little freckles, and her red, chocolate-chip-shaped nipples stood erect and aroused. However, Leah didn't get off the table or down onto her knees. Instead, she simply got down on all fours and beckoned for me to come closer. What's this? I asked, as my heart raced with excitement. Leah just reached out and grabbed onto my waistband as she licked her lips.
I just wanted to give you a good show, and I thought this angle would be more fun.
The woman pulled my shorts downward, and my erection nearly slapped her in the face when it jumped free. She let out a happy giggle as she stared at my rock-hard cock, and then she watched as I pulled my spandex off the rest of the way. The second I was completely naked, Leah spread her legs out and put her cute, tight ass up in the air. Then her magical tongue instantly slithered out of her mouth, and it began to run itself up and down the sides of my shaft in slow, smooth motions. Oh, fuck, I moaned as a wave of pleasure washed over me. Leah's tongue circled the head of my dick a few times before it wandered down the shaft, traced the sides of my balls, and then gently wrapped around me like it was a third hand. The polywarm woman let out a slight purr as her blue eyes looked up at me, and she began to stroke me using nothing but her tongue. I moaned as I felt my balls tighten up and my legs trembled, but I used every ounce of my strength to remain upright. My eyes traveled back and forth between Leah's beautiful eyes, her arched back, and her sexy ass, all while the warm coil in my stomach began to tense. Eventually, Leah reached up with her right hand and gently rubbed my balls, as she continued to pleasure me with her tongue, and I swore I saw stars begin to circle the room. The blonde woman continued to jerk me off with her tongue for a bit longer, until finally she decided to go to the next level. Leah remained on all fours as she placed one hand against my bare ass, and then she slowly began to use her tongue like a fucking fishing reel. She pulled it back into her mouth, slowly, and as she did so, my cock came along with it. Soon, I felt her warm, soft lips wrap around the base of my dick, and I just about lost it right then and there. She moaned with her wet mouth wrapped around me. That's right, I growled as I started to run my fingers through her golden locks. Take it all in. I want you to suck my fucking soul out, Leah. Leah must have accepted my challenge because she instantly placed her other hand around my waist and pulled me forward, hard. I felt her tight, rigid throat wrap around my manhood, and I gasped when her tongue continued to jerk me off while I was also deep inside her throat. Fuck, it was like she got better and better at this every time. Leah kept her tongue tied around my shaft as she began to bob her head forward and back, and each time my cock slid gently through her lips before she pulled me back in. I felt the pressure in my abdomen building as I stared at Leah's ass, which seemed to jiggle with each motion she made. Soon I felt myself reaching the mountaintop, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to hold very much longer. Leah! Fuck, your throat's so tight. I think you're gonna make me... Oh! I held the back of Leah's head in a death grip as the coil snapped, and I felt my balls start to pulsate as they prepared to unload. Leah's eyes widened when she felt my warm, hot seed spray out into the back of her throat. But then her baby blues rolled back in her head as she let out a happy sound and began to gulp down my sperm as quickly as it came out. Every muscle in my lower body felt like it had turned to rubber as I came in the blonde's mouth, and my vision blurred as I tried to keep myself upright. Ecstasy washed over my body like a wet blanket as I continued to come, and every single inch of my cock felt like it had been touched by a heavenly sensation. I continued to paint the walls of Leah's throat as I orgasmed, until finally the sensation subsided, and I came back down from my high. Leah released her tongue's grip on me as she let my dick slide out from her mouth, and then she lapped up the bits of my cum that had splattered down her chin.
That was fucking hot,
she cooed.
God, I love having that thing in my mouth. and I love when you fill me with your cum.
Then you're gonna love what happens next, I growled, as I made a spinning gesture with my index finger. Leah sat her naked ass down on the table, and that was when I made my move. I was at the perfect angle to take her while standing up, so I moved in close and wrapped my arms around the beautiful naked polyworm. We stared into each other's eyes as I stroked her chin with my fingers, and then I gave her a soft kiss on the forehead before I slowly started to kiss and nibble my way down her body.
Oh.
Leah whimpered at my touch.
I love it when you do that.
I continued to kiss down the woman's body until I finally got to her perky, gorgeous breasts. My tongue slid out of my mouth as I started to trace her right nipple in a counterclockwise motion, and then I gave it a gentle suck as I fondled the other one with my hand. Leah responded with another long moan, and I felt my manhood starting to return to half-mast. I teased the polyworm woman a bit longer as I alternated between each of her breasts, until finally my dick was rock hard once more. The second I had my stamina back, I stood up, moved in close, and placed the head of my cock against Leah's tight opening. There was a slight red blush to her labia as it quivered around my erection, and I knew that at this point Leah was pretty much begging for me to enter her. So I gave her what she wanted. I held Leah's head up against my chest as I thrust my hips forward, and then I felt her warm, wet pussy wrap around me like a glove. Oh, goddamn, you're tight, I moaned, as I felt every ridge and valley of Leah's womanhood grip me. Leah just let out a whimper, and then she began to press her soft lips against my chest. I caressed the woman's hair as she kissed my body softly, and I continued to push into her at a slow, rhythmic pace. Eventually, I felt myself bottom out against Leah's cervix, so I instantly pulled my dick back out and then pushed it back in just as slowly as I did the first time.
Fuck, Carter.
Leah moaned against my chest.
You always know how to please a woman.
Not just any woman. My lovers. You deserve it, Leah. You deserve anything you want.
Well, I want you. I want you to fill me.
My cock seemed to grow even harder at the thought of spilling my seed into Leah's womb, and my heart began to hammer in my chest. I pulled my dick out of Leah and then pushed back into her about halfway, and her pussy spasmed around me as I felt her teeth gently bite into my pectoral and heard her moan intensely. I pushed myself all the way into her velvet tunnel, and Leah seemed to hit the edge of ecstasy. Oh, do you like that? Do you like it when I tease you like that?
Yes!
She moaned against my chest.
Yes, Carter! Oh, that feels so fucking good!
With that, I began to increase the intensity of my thrusts, and Leah responded by digging her fingernails into my back. Her groans of pleasure started to get closer and closer together, until finally she seemed to freeze up. Are you gonna come?
Yes!
Leah screamed as she placed both her hands on my shoulders and held on for the ride.
Yes!
Leah's tight tunnel gripped me like a frickin' vice, and I felt the warm coil in my stomach snap at the sensation of her orgasm.
Oh, fuck, Leah!
I moaned as I shoved my cock deep inside of her.
I'm coming too!
The sounds of our orgasm mixed together in the air like a chorus of ecstasy, and I felt my balls begin to pulse as more sperm sprayed out into Leah's hungry womb. I painted the walls of Leah's velvet tunnel white as I unloaded what felt like a gallon of my love into her, and all the while my vision tunneled like I was on the verge of passing out. I held it together as I filled the beautiful blonde with my seed, until finally we both seemed to just completely give out. Leah fell backwards on the table and I collapsed on top of her. My cock was still unloading, so I simply started to suck on Leah's neck as we both came down from cloud nine. Soon, the sounds of our lovemaking subsided, and we laid there together in a crumpled heap.
Wow!
Leah gasped as she ran her hands through my hair.
Oh, I know, and that was just the practice round. I'm sure once the IUD is out, we can do it many, many more times.
I slid my cock out of Leah's velvet tunnel and watched as a bit of my sperm oozed out onto her leg. Leah quickly wiped it up with her finger before she licked it off, and then she gave me a wink before she laid back down on the table.
Just as tasty as the first time.
I crawled over and laid down on the table beside Leah, and then I put my arm around her shoulder and pulled her in close.
I guess 20 kids isn't that bad,
I joked as I stared up at the ceiling tiles of the boardroom.
Yeah, at least we'd know the werepanther gene was going to live on then.
And my polywarm genes. Though, I have to admit, as a biologist, I'm curious how our child would actually look.
Hold on. Maybe since they're half werepanther and half frog person, they'll end up turning into a werefrog. How cool would that be?
Pretty cool, actually.
The blonde woman said with a thoughtful expression.
It would solve a lot of the issues that come about with being a polywarm full-time, that's for sure. They wouldn't have to hide their tongue every time they go to the dentist or worry about accidentally jumping up to the ceiling when they're surprised by something.
Has that actually happened to you before?
Ooh, once or twice. Thankfully, nobody was around when it happened, so it was all good.
Fuck. What happens if we do have 20 kids at a time?
Then we'll be 20 times the parents we would be to a single child.
Leah said in a determined voice.
I actually think it'd be a fun little challenge. And who knows? Maybe if they grow up fast enough, they can help Mommy out in the lab.
Is that what you want eventually? Your own lab?
Maybe.
She shrugged.
I haven't really decided what exactly I want to do with my degree after I graduate, but I for sure want to stick to something within the field of biology.
Maybe our next place could have a lab.
Next place? What are you talking about? Are you planning to move out of Ada's sometime soon?
Why not? As much as I love Ada's setup, I'd love to have a house of my own someday. And with as much success as Ada claims these new locations will bring us, whew, I don't see how that's not possible in the near future.
That would be lovely, Carter. A big house that could hold us all and all the children we might have someday.
Even though I hadn't really thought too much about that until this moment, it only made sense we'd want a house here soon. There were plenty of wealthy neighborhoods around Cincy, and I was sure there would always be houses on the market for me to snatch up. Plus, with not one, but three new expansion locations for Cincy's Jewel, we were going to be swimming in the dough way sooner than I thought. As much as I'd love to just lay here on the table all night with you, I finally said, before I gave Leah a peck on the cheek. The others are going to start to worry about us if we don't get a move on soon. Are you ready to head back to Ada's club?
Not really. I'd much rather just lay here with you. But you're right. We can't let them get worried. Val's likely to rush back here and check every single room to make sure we're still okay.
Leah and I both stood up from the table and then got dressed. Or at least she got dressed. I just pulled my skin-tight spandex back over my lower half and then helped Leah find her clothes. Once that was done, we exited the boardroom and headed down to my office, where I quickly shuffled inside and grabbed one of those sets of spare clothes I normally kept in there for just this type of occasion. It wasn't anything special, just a simple pair of khaki pants, some cheaper black dress shoes, and a blue and teal plaid shirt. Once I was dressed again, Leah and I headed out into the back of house part of Cincy's Jewel, and then went to the parking lot. We hopped into my emerald Lambo, and we shared a smile as we listened to the newly orgasmic sound of its engine as it revved up. Then we bade farewell to Paul as we pulled past the parking attendant's booth, but the old man didn't even look up from his puzzles as we passed him. We got out onto the main road and began our short journey back to Ada's nightclub. By the time we got there, I could see people were already lining up for the night, and there was a frickin' line 3 blocks down. Thankfully, as a resident, I got the VIP treatment, so I was able to just pull around to the back and park there. Leah and I scurried inside and then up the staircase and to the living quarters of the building. When we came around the corner, I saw Ada, Becca, Boyd, Janine, Naomi, and Val were all chilling in the leather furniture of the lounging area.
There you are! We were starting to think you'd got lost.
Leah gave me a playful nudge, and we both laughed at how spot-on the Polywarm's prediction was.
Who's we? You were the only one that was worried, Val. Carter and Leah are both more than capable of taking care of themselves.
More likely they were taking care of each other. Isn't that right, love?
We just had some paperwork to file, I lied, as I approached the group, and then plunked down in one of the open spots right next to Valerie.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Ada teased.
I'm not really up to date with modern slang.
Leah sat down on a nice leather recliner on the opposite side of the space, which was next to Becca and Boyd. As I watched the blonde woman take her spot, I couldn't help but notice the dangling amber gems that now hung around Boyd and Becca's necks. You got them tiger eyes? I asked Ada.
We picked up plenty of extra,
Janine interjected.
We figured our family would be growing eventually, though we never really expected it to grow quite so fast.
They will be protected from Khonsu's prying eyes. We also got these for all of our friends.
As she spoke, the succubus reached down to a small box at her side and then pulled out a bunch of small sapphire blue rings. Lapis lazuli.
Wear these and you will be protected from the gaze of Keck,
Janine explained as she watched Ada hand out the enchanted rings.
This should work for now. If those pesky gods decide to form any other alliances, though, things could get trickier.
As I slid the lapis lazuli ring over my left ring finger, I was surprised at how well it fit. Had Ada secretly measured my ring size while I was sleeping or something?
I, for one, totally want to have a Flava Flav's worth of gemstones around my neck at all times.
If that's what it takes to keep us safe, I honestly wouldn't complain,
Janine noted as she fiddled with her glasses.
I'm really tired of having our enemies trying to kill us at every turn.
I'm afraid that comes with the territory of hanging out with a werepanther, love. Carter has a massive target on his back at all times, especially now that two Egyptian deities are involved in the situation. We're actually lucky it's only been two of them so far. There are all sorts of crazy creatures out there who think the only way to dominance is by traveling to another region and killing the most powerful paranormal creature that lives there. Oh, so we're lucky now. We only have two gods trying to kill us. Great.
This is all quite overwhelming to me, I'm afraid. Mr. Bartram sighed as he laid his face in his hands and rubbed his eyes intensely.
I'm used to doing plant sacrifices and serving my god by planting gardens and trees. And now I'm caught up in a war between deities?
You did a pretty damn good job back there at your house, I reminded Becca's father. You guys took out a bunch of those ancient Order of the Nile fuckwits without even breaking a sweat.
Like I said before, the Brotherhood preaches nonviolence, but we can certainly defend ourselves when needed. We were only doing what we could to protect Nefertum's great creation.
So, hold on. Does this mean Nefertum is on our side, then?
Well, I obviously can't just call him up and ask, Boyd smirked. Though, the fact we were victorious today with no casualties whatsoever, that tells me he smiles greatly upon this union.
Who says you can't call him up? I asked coyly.
Carter,
Janine warned.
Don't you dare say what I think you're going to say.
What? I responded with the most innocent expression I could muster. The messenger spell worked wonders the last time we used it.
Come on now.
The redhead chuckled nervously.
You should remember from your college days that just because something worked once the first time doesn't mean it will always work out in your favor. It's a poor, dangerous way to conduct research. Maybe the last time you were actually able to speak with Bast, but the next time you could accidentally tear a hole in the space-time continuum and allow deadly creatures from the Netherrealm to enter our world and wipe out the human race.
On second thought,
Boyd said, with eyes as wide as saucers,
perhaps we should think of another avenue.
Nah.
I continued to joke. It was totally safe. I'm sure Naomi and Ada could send you to Nefertum's domain, and you could chill out in the temple and smoke a hookah pipe and have a great time.
The garden, Mr. Bartram corrected me. Nefertum lives in a beautiful hanging garden filled with several pools of blue lotus flowers.
Hanging garden, then. I clapped my hands together. Just as nice.
We're not going to do the messenger spell again. It's far too dangerous.
Got it,
Naomi said with the fakest wink I'd ever seen.
Never doing the messenger spell ever again. I won't even think about it.
My friends and I sat around shooting the shit for a bit longer until my ears picked up the sounds of footsteps coming up the stairs. Ada? I asked, as my heart started beating like a drum. Who else knows about our living arrangements?
Relax, love,
the succubus said with a wave of her hand.
It's just Charlie, our intern.
I turned around on the couch to see a young man approaching who was probably not even old enough to drink. He had on a red t-shirt with the Triforce of Power drawn in an 8-bit style on the front, as well as a pair of skinny jeans that still seemed too baggy for his tiny figure. The kid had messy blonde hair on his head that stuck out from underneath his black beanie, and his pimply face was covered with bits of hair I could only assume was his attempt at growing a beard.
Hi, Miss Ada,
Charlie waved as he gave the succubus a goofy smile.
Sorry to bother you right now, but I thought it was important.
It's quite all right, Charlie.
Ada smiled, and then she gestured to the rest of our crew.
These are my co-workers and friends. You'll be seeing quite a bit of them during your time here.
Nice to meet you all.
Charlie said with another awkward wave, and then he reached into his pockets and produced a small envelope.
A man delivered this to the front desk, Miss Ada. He said it was very important that you and your business partners read it immediately.
Thank you.
The succubus nodded as she stood up, walked over to the intern and snatched up the envelope from his hand.
How are things looking down in the club, by the way?
Oh, it's great down there. There are so many people and we just opened. I think it's going to be a busy night.
Then you'd best get back down there.
Ada teased the boy.
You know the club can't function without its beloved intern.
Oh, gosh, Miss Ada.
The nerdy boy laughed and shook his head.
I know you don't mean that.
Sure I do. Now go down there and kick some ass.
Charlie smiled at his boss before he turned away and rushed back down the staircase and out of sight.
Ada?
Valerie asked with a raised eyebrow.
How old is that kid?
He's 19, I think.
Ada shrugged.
But don't let his age fool you. He's a really hard worker.
Ada?
Val said as she rubbed her temples.
You can't have a 19-year-old working in a nightclub.
Why not?
Because it's illegal? He's underage.
I'm pretty sure there are laws against turning a public building into a living space, too.
Ada just shrugged again.
Plus, I'm pretty sure the powers that be wouldn't be too crazy if they knew a succubus, a werepanther, a were-turtle, a changeling, a polywarm, and a bunch of cultists were using this place as their headquarters either. But what are they gonna do? You're just playing with fire, Ada. As your PR and marketing person, I just wanted to let you know. Duly noted, love.
The succubus smirked and flipped over the envelope. Instantly, the smile and playfulness in her eyes disappeared.
What is it?
It's for Carter,
Ada explained in a serious tone.
And I recognize this handwriting.
The succubus held out the envelope for me to take, so I snatched it up and quickly tore it open with one of my fingernails. As I inspected the front, I saw the same details I'd noticed on the letter I got before, from the Ancient Order of the Nile. There was the same fancy handwriting as well as a return address from Chicago, and when I started to actually read the letter inside, our suspicions were confirmed. Dear Mr. Hatfield, I began as I read the letter aloud, by now you must think we are a band of scamps, tramps, and scallywags for all the things our radical members have put you through these last few days. We have just recently gotten word that, in addition to our uncivilized brothers attacking you on the road, they invaded the home of two of your allies as well. Please know that the Ancient Order of the Nile in no way condones these actions, as they do not represent our code of conduct whatsoever. We are glad such traitors have been put out of their misery, and we hope this series of unfortunate events does not stray you away from attending our biannual Confluence of the Mind next Saturday at 571 East Rockefeller Road, Chicago, Illinois. Sincerely, your friends at the Cincinnati chapter of the AON.
They're really pushing that party, aren't they?
It's not a party.
Janine shook her head.
It's a confluence of the mind, an event in which the most brilliant minds come together to formulate new ideas and share what they've learned.
So it's basically a conference for Ancient Order of the Nile members. Why the fuck do they want me there so bad?
Probably so they can get you right where they want you. I mean, shit, the whole letter just reeks of trap.
Yet it's not setting off my invisible eye. Maybe there's something more to it.
What other reasons would they want for you to come there? You're not a member of the Ancient Order of the Nile, and it sounds like this confluence of the mind is a place specifically for their members.
What do you know about the Ancient Order of the Nile, Daddy? Have you ever worked with them?
I have not.
Boyd shook his head.
I've certainly heard of them, though they never gave us the time of day, mainly due to the fact we worshipped rival gods. Also, the fact that they are a bunch of rich assholes, and we were just everyday men of the earth.
They sound lovely. Who wouldn't want to go hang out with a bunch of rich assholes?
I wonder what it's going to take for them to get the hint. You didn't respond to the first letter, so what makes them think you wanted to get a second one?
Who knows? They probably sent them out en masse in the hopes they could spam mail Carter into walking right into their trap. I'm sure there are at least 5 or 6 more letters out there somewhere, all prompting Carter to respond.
Carter? You're being awfully quiet over there. What's up?
Even though I totally understood why my friends were concerned, something was off about this whole situation. If they'd really just sent out a bunch of spam mail at the same time, how would they have known about the fight that had just occurred at Boyd's house? Unless, of course, they already knew they were going to attack the Bartram residence as well in advance. Even then, there was no way they could have guessed we'd find the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus, let alone that the specific member we'd meet with would be Becca's father. Then there was the fact that the invisible eye wasn't alerting me to even the slightest hint of danger. Maybe these guys were genuine, and they actually wanted to extend the olive branch with this confluence of the mind. Or maybe they were just trying to set me up and were able to magically mask their ill intentions, but they would soon learn what a mistake that was. Because I would kill them all.
Carter!
Janine's voice cut through my navel-gazing.
Please tell me you're not actually considering this!
I am, Janine. If they are trying to set a trap, wouldn't it be better to take the fight to them, rather than just wait for them to come after us? They'll all be in one place.
What are you saying, love?
Ada asked, and I just responded with a massive, sly grin. What I'm saying is, pack your bags. We're going to Chicago to kill all these fuckers. End of book 6.